We hear this all the time.
There are so many updates and tons of community work happening. It's hard to keep up. How do I follow it all?
Here is your answer. Listen to the Gutenberg Changelog.
Well, hello and welcome to our 39th episode of the Gutenberg Changelog podcast. Today we will talk about Gutenberg 10.1, the DevNotes to WordPress 5.7, testing tools, and of course, full site editing and all the other goodies of the block editor in WordPress. I'm Birgit Pauli Haag, curator at the Gutenberg Times, and I'm here with my co-host, Mark Urain, designer and core contributor to WordPress. Hey, Mark, how are you doing?
Hey there, Birgit. I'm doing well today, considering about half my house is under major construction right now. I think I have it all plasticked off and everything. We're trying to improve the air quality by redesigning our HVAC system. So we'll see how that goes.
That's a major project. Yeah, I don't envy you.
Oh, yeah. Goodness. I'm hoping, you know, like this will help with all the California fires that we get over here and the smoke and stuff. But anyways, how you been doing?
Oh, I'm doing well. It's been another busy Gutenberg week. And I actually finished the call for testing instructions and was able to build a homepage with the new tools.
So oh, that's really excited, so good.
And it's so great to see how that comes together. Of course, it's not ready for release or something like that, but you get a good feeling for it. And the workflow is much easier now. And some of the bugs and quirks that the testers, I wasn't the only one. Yeah, I think there were 6 or 7 testers have already been fixed or
so
are
good.
In the process of getting fixed. So that's really cool.
So that's very positive because that tells us that the feedback that's coming from the testers is being relayed back to the developers and the designers. So really good.
Yeah, and
that's a healthy
job. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
That's a healthy system, I was going to say.
And with the work that Anne does around it, even if the testers just posted on the testing call in the comments, she made issues out of it and relayed it to the developer. So it's really a great way to get it better fast. I'm looking forward to the testing call number 3. And it's really hard when you want to test things to kind of be creative and come up with a scenario that you want to test that you then want to share. So she does all the creative work on it and putting the testing instructions. So you just need to follow along and see what's happening with that. It's a great system. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Good to hear.
So we have one announcement for our show, the Gutenberg repository on GitHub. The master branch has been renamed to Trunk. And there's some information in the meeting notes of this week's meeting. We will share that, of course, in the show notes, what you have to do to make sure that when you push something to the repo or to maintain your fork, that it actually pulls from Trunk now, not from old masters. But GitHub does a fine job in handling that in the redirects as well. So, but it's certainly important to look at that.
And if you haven't visited that repo in a while, that GitHub gives you that little prompt about the little commands that you need to do to kind of take care of that process.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah. We at the Gutenberg nightly, we actually prepared for that about 2 weeks ago because I needed Andy Fragan to help me with the updates to make sure that the GitHub updater plugin also picks that up. Yeah, it kind of was interesting. Dropped a little bit the ball there, but it's all good now. We fixed it, yeah. Speaking of testing, Pal Joachim Romdahl has put together a tutorial on how to test Gutenberg pull requests before they're merged. A couple of months ago, the team had produced a automatic GitHub action that created a plugin for each PR that is pushed into the repo. But the link is so buried that you cannot just kind of say, oh, I go there and then pick it up. if you want to do that. So you can always, and Pal did a great job with video and the tutorial to help us do that and pull the accommodating plugins from the repo for testing it in your local environment without having to do npm install and start and all that kind of node stuff there.
Yeah, that is a nice little article there by Pal.
Yeah. And it feeds right into Justin Tadlock on the W Tavern, actually did a nice write-up on the user-friendly, all the user-friendly methods to testing Gutenberg enhancements and bug fixes. And he starts out with, okay, if you want to test Gutenberg that goes into the WordPress release, you use the Gutenberg plugin. That's pretty much known. And then there's the Gutenberg Nightly, which is done by the here in Gutenberg Times, when we release a nightly build of as a plugin that you can, and that updates you if once you install it, download it from the Gutenberg Times and you install it on your test site, it also has automatic, not automatic update, but you see the update prompt if you use the GitHub updater by Andy Fragan. And then the third version, but that's all for code that is merged into the repo already, yeah, that it will be released. It's between plugin releases, so to speak. What the team really needs help with is also testing PRs. So changes and fixes that are already submitted, but are not yet merged to the code base and that need to be reviewed. And for that, there are two methods. One is the Gutenberg.run website, and the other one is the new method that Paul Joachim Romdahl put together in his tutorial, and multiple developers worked on it. So these are the kind of four, was it plugin, nightly, Gutenberg run, and the pull request PR. So four different versions that are more user-friendly than downloading node stuff and NPM stuff and all that. So definitely a great contribution to expand the reach of the testing calls.
Right. Just surface that, right? All that information and it'll really help.
So the core team published a proposal to drop IE 11. I know last year there was a discussion already, but somebody ran the numbers, the statistics, and it was still too many people using it.
Yeah.
And this coming up this year, it dropped actually under 1% usage around the internet. And so they put the proposal together, and you can look it up on the Core Make blog discussion dropping support for IE11. And you see that there are, well, I don't know, 20, 30 people already chimed in and said, do it. Because it actually has some great advantages, yeah. Especially the JavaScript packages can be really much, much smaller.
Right.
You don't have to do
the
polyfill for the IE11. So there are other, of course, advantages. So it's interesting to read through the discussion I found just to get a little more in tune to why is there actually still an IE11 out there? Yeah, and that's kind of our announcements and community contribution. Yeah.
Okay, awesome. And that takes us to what's released. Let's see, we had WordPress 5.7. Release Candidate 3 was released with some late bug fixes. The actual release is scheduled for March 9th. 2021. It's definitely the time to test all your plugins and themes for compatibility. So if you haven't received that email already for that alert, make sure you go test your things out with a 5.7. And let's see, Robert Anderson, the 5.7 release lead for the block editor, published a few dev notes for the next WordPress version. And these included the changes to the block editor components and blocks, changes in the @WordPress/data API, the new block variation APIs in 5.7, the inner blocks API changes, and the new internationalization filters and create IE18n changes. So make sure to take a look at those dev notes.
Yeah, of course, they are very developer-oriented, but I'm really excited about the inner blocks API change, as well as the various changes to the block components.
Those are in addition to the already published information on the new dynamic hook to filter the content of a single block. So we had discussed that in episode 38, last episode.
Right. And that brings us to Gutenberg 10.1 was released. We will have, of course, the release notes in the show notes. And there was also a fast release afterwards with some bug fixes to prevent some endless loops. that's always good to have them, but because we don't like them around. So this release includes a number of enhancements, a lot of bug fixes, and of course, full set editing, widget and navigation screens, improvements, as well as for the global styles. We go into the deep end of this in a moment, but they also have new highlighted reusable block flows, and mm-hmm. also for the creation flow of reusable blocks.
And it allows you to cancel the action. Oh, I remember this was a big issue. Yeah.
Yeah. For otherwise, a while. You needed to go to the admin and then.
Right.
Now, in the creation flow, you can create a reusable block. And Johan Asmussen did actually a little tutorial on the most prominent ripris.org page. That's the news section, because it also feeds into your dashboard about the reusable blocks. So if you still want to know what's new in the reusable blocks, you can see that in the tutorial. There are videos and also the words to the videos. Another new feature is that the image block toolbar, all the features have been grouped better on the image toolbar. So it's a little shorter, but it's also more compact. And that it's all in the image block, they also are pushing it to be used on the other toolbars as well. And the social links have received justification tools, so you can justify them left, right, up, and down in the lines. Yeah, the social links still have the wrong icon, so people would think that that's actually sharing links, but they are not. They're profile links. And somewhere I read a comment said, "Oh, maybe we can have the social links be expandable, so you can have custom icons come in. Right now, you can only use the icons that are already in core, but you cannot add icons to it. And I would really love that to use for the podcast. Yeah? So if you have a podcast on the website and you want to have the profile or the podcast links for all the different places like Stitcher or Apple
right.
or Google or so, you want to have those links somewhere on your page. And that would be a perfect block for that. I hope that will be soon an issue filed on GitHub and we can talk about that new feature request. We also have some enhancement, of course, in this release. One is searching the parent pages has been improved, the sorting algorithm, and also the speed. That's when you create a page and on the right-hand side, you want to make it a child of a parent page to list the parent pages. That's that. That's I really like that also for the author searches. For the buttons, now there are controls to justify the space in between, similar to the social links. And then there is, in the create block scaffolding tool, there is now a way to use the register block type from metadata to register the blocks on server. This is one of the features that were actually requested long time ago, that the blocks are also registered in PHP. So they're
got it.
And that is now also coming to the scaffolding. Later on in the documentation, we'll talk about it again. There was also a greatly improved dragging performance for the focal point picker, and it's really fast now. Yeah, test it out. The focal point picker is for the cover block as well as for the media and text block, where you can change where the center is on the
background image.
On the asset that you're using. Yeah. And then another enhancement was to improve the block search input to make it accessible with a name and the placeholder. That definitely increases some usability issues there, improves the usability there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's only one new API, and that extends the update block attributes to provide a different attribute change for each block in the client IDs array. I read that sentence and I don't think I understood that.
Me either, if it's any consolation. Me either.
Oh, yeah, good.
So
I think it's part of the, if you have the block as inner block, you can change the block attributes or something like that. Yeah.
All right. And there were 22 bug fixes. Some of these included things like adding the border collapse to the default block styles in the table block. The navigation block saw a lot of a few bug fixes here, fixing the navigation links when post type is not a page or a post, fixing the inline style inheritance, etc. There was a fix the admin menu scroll on the editor page, which is nice. And navigation component saw an increased color and padding specificity. So there was an issue there with the specificity.
For styling, yeah.
And fix the cursor on rich text blocks when outline mode is active. So there was a little bug when the outline mode was active. The experiments, wow, we see about four experiment updates. Let's see, there's updating the documentation for the social links in the theme.json file, which is important. The navigation screen saw some improvement to the experience for a user creating their first menu. And there was also so the first time coming into that screen and ready to create your menu, right? The experience is a little better. The fixing the positioning of the nested sub menus.
Good. Yeah.
And full site editing part saw some changes. Of these include using a modal for the template part creation flow. So definitely starting to embrace modals more in Gutenberg. Add an area term for template parts.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
That was
missing. Yeah.
Adding a content menu items preview in the navigation. So when you're on that sidebar navigating through, you get to see a preview of what that page template looks like, or what that template looks like, I should say.
Yeah.
The site editor saw some changes, one being adding the template tab to the sidebar. So if you're in the site editor, right where you, on the right side, you'd see blocks, right? Or document and blocks. Well, now you see template and blocks. So it has its own tab now. Global styles saw a few changes, widgets, UI components. There were some additional UI components added, like the surface component, which is a base layout component. You had the elevation component added, the form group plus the control label components. Yeah, like a lot of these little UI pieces here for the UI.
You probably can use some of the Gutenberg components to actually have a form builder.
Right.
I need to explore that.
That's quite possible. Mm-hmm. Adding, there's now a spinner component.
Always important.
Yes. For all those times that people need to wait.
Wait here, spin there.
Yeah. Then there were some bugs, of course, related to the full site editing experiments, like fixing the site logo styles. There was an issue there. The site editor saw a lot of fixing the navigation editor block, fixing the navigate to link error. The widgets also saw several bug fixes as that's getting refined. And yeah, just a really good number there, 40 experiments.
Yeah,
updates.
And on my test, when I tested the full site editing, there was one task was to add a site logo to the header of it.
Oh.
And I saw in the comments, testers who did this previously, because of course I waited till the last day, or 2 days to do that. And I used a nightly, and this was already fixed. So my experience with the site logo component was really much, much better than what other people saw. Yeah, I really liked
how
it.
Cool.
It was really good. Yeah. So there's some fast, rapid improvements coming down the full site editing. the site editor time. As well as the template parts and putting it all together. Yeah, there's also
I guess that's proof that they really are working on this thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I had one issue filed that the list view. So the list view, previously called the block navigator, is now called list view. And that is when you, it's one of the tabs from the icons from the top bar, where you see all the blocks that are on canvas. With their indentation, depending on that. And I was only getting the header, but not the full page. Or when I was in the footer, was only getting the footer, but not the full page. Well, now they have it as a sidebar on the left-hand side when you open it up next to the block inserter. So you can actually scroll up and down and then head over to this and see it completely. Yeah. So that was already fixed when I filed it, but I didn't know that because I had an older version there. Yeah. So that's why the nightly is definitely a good place to be when you want to test things. So that was the experiments. Now we come to the documentation, and there have been quite a few updates there that I will share in the show notes, actually, with the documentation pages there. So there is an update to the outreach page on the, that hadn't been updated since, I don't know, 2018 or so. And quite a few people went through it and suggested additional resources on learning more about how to use the block editor as a developer. Then the create block tutorial was updated with the block JSON updates for the PHP API. And then the block directory reference was actually also exposed in the handbook. It's a tutorial for submitting a block to the block directory. Yeah, go through all the steps there, including the tester. There's a block testing tool before you submit it. So from the theme JSON, there was the font style, weight, decoration, transform was removed from the theme JSON, and now the documentation is also updated. Then there's the documentation for the combo box controls. It has been updated, and then the block variations are added to the FAQ because developers still have seen confusion between block variations and block style variations. And that's certainly a distinction to make. The key concept, that's one of the introductionary pages on architecture, had been updated to include templates and global styles and made a few changes in between. And then the block meta section to promote the PHP, I already mentioned that, was updated there. There were also some code quality changes, that there were typos in the PHP comments and literals, replaced some store names in the literals for the block library, reduced the memoized context for the block props and nodes, and also used the ref callback for a few of the components, the iframe, the canvas, the clipboard, the hover block, and the block nodes. Yeah, and that's pretty much from that section.
Excellent. There were 20 tool changes in the tool section. So these included like adding support for native TypeScript, limiting the NPM version to be 6, along with some others. And WPENV setup saw that it's now using simple Git instead of the node Git. There were some end-to-end tests that were updated as far as like adding the gallery caption coverage, etc. And about 8 in the various section, the kitchen sink, there was adding a custom post type icon, updating the text color icon. So we're seeing some more icon work happening and a few others. But Birgit, as you mentioned, you know, we saw the quick release of 10.1.1. of Gutenberg because of that infinite loop that was happening. Also, after the release, Anne McCarthy posted an article elaborating more on the performance improvements that came to Gutenberg 10.1. So that's on
Core Make Block. It pretty much, it has changed that they the including of the style sheets happens now only when the block is loaded and not before. It was in a big, everything was in a big style sheet. And even if you don't use the block, you still had the style sheet representation was still in the style sheet. So it was pretty big. And with that change now, the file size has been certainly reduced. So that's pretty much the gist of it. If you need details, go there and link will be in the show notes. Yeah, and that was our talk about the release. Let's see what's in active development or discussed. And if you want to know more about what's around Gutenberg and themes, the team has just published their Gutenberg and themes roundup, the 40th roundup of all the discussions that are happening around it. And it's always a good place to start when you want to catch up with things and also want to know it has the attempts, the discussions about the hybrid approach to themes, the block-based themes, and how can parts of the new architecture be applied to conventional themes. That is certainly one of them. And on that page, I also found a tracking issue of Medium projects that Matthias posted, where he lists the improvements of CoverBlock, that the smaller project, the big project is full-site editing, of course, and global styles and the widgets screen and navigation screen, but that's not all what the team is working on. So this Medium projects tracking issue, you can keep up about the improvements that come with to the cover block, to the reusable blocks, the image block, the gallery block, the quote block, and the alignments overview. So these are certainly, I like that the quote, they're working on getting nested blocks into the quote block. So you can use, instead of just using a paragraph, you can also use images and lists and these kind of things. So that's the gallery, we talked about it, is refactored in terms of that the images are loaded as image blocks and have all the features that an image block has.
Love that. Yeah. Yes.
But of course, a full-site editing is still a focus and making the theme template creation process more I mentioned the persistent list view. I think that is already in the release, and then also to have all the semantic templates parts that are in the milestone completed. The new block-based editors for widgets, you can get a preview on that for in the customizer now. That's still in testing, of course, but that's what they're working on. And there are quite a few issues that are queued up once that is all done. So yeah, check out. I think the best way to catch up with that is either the Gutenberg and Themes weekly list or the core editor meeting notes, where everybody kind of says what they're working on and also what's in their pipeline.
Yeah, those are great updates.
Yeah. So really good. And this is the end of our show. Thank you very much for listening. I don't have any announcements. Late announcements or something like that. Do you have anything that you want to share that we didn't
Nothing.
Talk about? All right. So show notes, as always, will be published on the gutenbergtimes.com/podcast. And if you have questions, suggestions, or news that you want us to include, please send them to changelog@gutenbergtimes.com. That's changelog@gutenbergtimes.com. That's it.
You got a little excited on that second one there.
Thanks for listening. Yeah, well, I knew I was just kind of reading it and kind of blowing my mind.
<You're> no. Right. Well, listeners, thank you so much for listening. Birgit, thank you again for doing this episode with me. 39.
It's always a pleasure seeing you and discussing these things with you. Thank you so much. And we'll see each other in 2 weeks, for 10.2.
Yeah.
Thanks, and
bye, everyone.
Goodbye. Bye, everybody.